CliffCentral.com.
Anyway, it is time. It is time for Collectomania today, and this is one of my favorite things. We get to check out people with their crazy collections, and we are continuing our weekly dose of Collectomania this morning, talking to some compulsive collectors, and it's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. Now, today, we are joined by Kobus Skultz, who has collected things from as young as 14. So, Kobus got the bug early on in his life. He has collections that run into millions, not necessarily in rands, but millions of collectibles. And we're talking about things from matchboxes to cigarette memorabilia. So, Kobus, how's it? Nice to see you. How are you?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Very well yourself,
man. Yeah, very, very good. Yeah. So you started collecting at 14?
Yes, yes. I started when I was 14 in high school and still collecting strong, eh?
So listen, let's just start off. You're not crazy because a lot of us, I mean, I collect stuff, but you know how people are. If you've got millions of things in your collection, how did the bug bite in the beginning? Tell me about when you were 14 and you said, I'm going to be collecting this. And how did it all start?
Yeah, to cut a long story short, at the age of 14, my dad used to travel a lot for work. Mm-hmm. And then he was bringing home book matches and match boxes. Mm-hmm. And staying in hotels, eating at restaurants and those type of things. And then they all started piling up. And as they were piling up, I decided that, this is a good idea. Let's start collecting all the different ones there is. And then I contacted the Lion Match Company in South Africa.
Yeah.
And those years, I'm from Bloemfontein. So those years, they still had an office at Bloemfontein. Mm-hmm. And then every Friday afternoon, about 2 o'clock or so, I was taking the bus all the way from home, going to town, going to their offices, and as all the reps were coming in, I was getting all the sample materials from them. And that's how the hobby started. And then so that's basically how it started. And then by the early 2000s.
Mm. So, I mean, matchboxes are not the kinds of things that most, you know, first of all, they're hard to come by now because smokers, there are a lot less matchboxes around because there are a lot less places where smokers can go. But it's a pretty strange thing to collect. Was it just because there were so many different kinds and because, as you say, your dad would bring them home for you and you thought, well, I've got the basis of a collection here. Are you a smoker, by the way?
Yes, okay. I am a smoker.
Yeah. All right, well, then these things would actually have been practically useful as well, although being a collector, you probably don't like to use the very rare ones that you've collected over the period of time that you've been collecting. Look at that. Oh, my God.
Jeepers, creepers.
Wow. That's amazing. So, I mean, from matchboxes to other tobacco products, it's not a huge leap, right? I mean, if you're collecting matches, you might as well collect lighters. If you're collecting lighters, you may as well collect interesting cigarettes. So, I mean, for people who are interested in, you know, tobacco and tobacconists and, you know, that kind of thing, you must be one of the most interesting people to talk to. You could probably show them stuff that most of us have never seen.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, I am in the tobacco trade as we speak. So I work for a cigarette and tobacco company also. So I also grew up in the trade. So I think that triggered a lot when it all started. And that's what it keeps me so interesting. It keeps everything so interesting. And I love it. It's the tobacco and the new technology that comes out all these days regarding smoking. All those type of things. I love it all, and I've been in the trades for years. So I think that also steps in where I started collecting all these related items. Like you said, you will never see in your life again.
You obviously don't want your collection catching fire because all those matches could cause quite a big problem. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of matches that you got there. Tell me, there is actually a matchbox collectors club in South Africa, isn't there?
There used to be one. There used to be one that closed down in 1986. And then someone contacted me about a year ago and also asked me regarding that. And I said, as far as I know, there's not one in South Africa at present. So maybe we would start up one day. And also, that being said, is these days, what we do is we me, for example, I exchange with people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing we can do now is exchanging with people from all over the world, because there's no one actively collecting in South Africa at this stage, and especially not at this magnitude.
So, Cobus, what's the most interesting thing you've got? Because you must have a few that are your favorites, right? You must have some stuff there that's pretty rare. You must have some that you're really proud of that you treat a little better than the others. So show off a little bit. Tell us what you got.
I must say, if I look at my Matchbox collection, which is actually priority number one, and the rest of the stuff that I collect only comes with as I get time as well. I have three Matchboxes that was made in Sweden,
yeah,
and they are all dated in 1887.
Wow.
So that's pretty, pretty special to me. Yeah, 1887. Then also I have some South African stuff that's also between 1890 and 1904, 1910, those years. So, you know, things like that. And then also there were some special prints done when it came to 9/11 in the U.S.
Wow.
Which I got from friends of mine in USA. You know, special things like that. So there's actually a lot. It's difficult to name, but those two top things is very, very special to me. And then you get privatized matchboxes as well, where a company will print your name on, for example, or the Gareth Cliff Show, for example. You know, yeah, those things, because they only make like 1,000 or they only make like 100 in the world. So things like that is very, very special to me.
When you collect, do you often get these things for free from people who know that you're into this, or do you have to buy them? And how do you buy them? Do you go online? Are there auctions online? Are there sites like eBay? How do you find stuff?
So, because I was also on this media platform about 5 to 7 years ago as well, and then all my friends, all my family knows I collect, so it's actually very funny. I will get a phone call from someone that say, listen, Cobus, do you remember me? I will say, yes, I remember you. Excuse me. And then the person will say, yes, for example, a family member passed away, or my grandfather passed on, and he's got X, Y, and Z, and please don't you want to come and take a look at some rare things that we found here? You may have it. So a lot of instances, people contact me. I go and see them, or they come and see me. I normally go and see them, and then I said, yes, I would be interested in X, Y, Z, and they just give it to me as well. So they donate, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, but that's amazing.
I mean, money.
Have you ever found really, really expensive, valuable stuff and said to them, hey, listen, I mean, I don't feel right about taking this? Or you've just kept quiet and gone, yeah, that's nice, but
No, absolutely. So it happened, I think, I'm thinking back now, it was about 10, 15 years ago. There was someone that came to me and said, listen, my grandfather passed away, come and go through all the things. I mean, there's stuff there. I found a 1942 fridge.
Wow.
That fridge is actually still in my house, and my food is still in there, so it still works.
That's unbelievable.
So I offered the money for that. They wanted to give it for free for me, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I said, no, I can't accept a good like this for free, or whatever the case might be. So I bought that from people, but very, very rare old stuff. Now, I think maybe some coins. I've got some old coins that dates back to the late 1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically that. But now I will never take something.
Because it's such a peculiar collection, I mean, it really is something that probably there are only, you know, there are maybe 100 or 200 of the people who collect the things that you collect in the world at the level that you're collecting. Because, you know, a lot of us say we're collectors, but we've got tiny little collections of things, and they're not particularly valuable. The amazing collection that you've amassed must be worth quite a lot of money. Is there someone that is going to take this over when you lose interest? Because otherwise your house is just going to be like one of those hoarders' houses, you know, where someone comes in and they're like, oh, no, throw out all this old shit. And you've collected it over a period of years and you're in love with it. And then someone's going to come along and just throw the whole thing away.
I want to tell you this one. I need to tell the nation about this one. So my sister makes a comment, okay? My sister says to me, Cobus, the day when you are not there,
yeah,
what we are going to do, we are going to find a company called Rent a Tent. We're going to cover the whole premises, and we're just going to auction everything because no one wants to go through this, and no one wants to sort everything out.
Yeah, you see.
So that's a common thing, mate. But on a more serious note, now I do have a son.
Okay.
He's young at this stage, so yeah. I'm getting him into things as well.
Okay.
As teaching him and showing him the ropes and trying to get him into things. And then hopefully, who knows, one day he will take it over and can stay for another 100 years in the next generation.
Is there any Is there any one thing that you've been searching for years and you can't find it? Is there one item that you would love to add to your collection and you just haven't had any luck, or it's been too expensive, or it was there 1 minute and then it was gone?
There is something that's not available.
What's that?
Okay, but I guess that doesn't count, but there must be one on this planet somewhere. So that is a matchbox that was made in South Africa in 1889.
Sure.
Okay, so there is some catalogs floating around from all the previous collectors in the club that used to be in South Africa. So according to the catalog, there's print number 1 all the way to print number 10. And I only need that print number 2 to complete the whole set from those years.
Oh,
but
so irritating. You've got all the others.
With all the big collectors, yeah. With all the collectors in the world, I know someone might have one somewhere, but I've been searching and searching, but I'll find it, don't worry.
Well, listen, it's amazing to hear about your collection. I love the fact that there are people in this world who can do interesting and diverse things like collecting matchboxes and you've got lots of cigarettes.
Keep your mind clear.
Yes?
Sorry to interrupt. Keep your mind clear.
No, it does. It's amazing. I also think like collectors are trying to I suppose everybody's trying to run their own little museum, you know. They're trying to keep a certain area of interest alive, and because it's something they're fascinated by and that they're passionate about, to them it's the most exciting thing. How much money do you think you've spent over the years on collecting?
My friend, I don't even want to think about it, I'm honest. There's no way.
Oh, man.
I don't want to think about it.
Corbis, you have a Wendy house. You built a Wendy house specifically for all of your collection.
Yeah, so all the matchboxes is in a separate room in the house, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And then the Wendy house I've put up, that's 56 squares. It's 8 by 7 meters. So, and guess what? I'm running out of space again. I'm actually running out of space, so now I don't know what I'm going to do. Everyone says to me, go and buy or get a building that is as big as a school hall with twice the height, and maybe then you will be happy one day. Because you must remember, I still have another 40 years old to go, right?
No, for sure. You've only just begun. I love it. Listen, Corbis, it's great to talk to you, and thank you very much. You also have like interesting stuff that people might want to know about. You've got Coke cans from 1989 until now. So, I mean, there's a whole collection. And I mean, obviously, these things can become obsessive and crazy, but it sounds to me like you and I are both on the border of being crazy and being obsessive. Mm-hmm. I like it.
But remember one thing, Gareth. Mm. Remember one thing.
Mm.
If everything is neat and tidy in a way, then you do not qualify as a hoarder.
That's true. The minute it gets untidy,
that's the golden point.
That's what we have to keep telling ourselves, right? That's how we know that we're not.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're not nutcases. All right, Corbis, I love it. Thank you so much, man. Nice to talk to you. Corbis Skultz is a collector, and we're sharing his story this morning of his matchboxes, his other stuff, all his tobacco products, his Coke cans. It's once you start down the path of collecting, as Master Yoda says in Star Wars, forever will it dominate your destiny. CliffCentral.com